live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University. It is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Another day, another dollar. Happy Monday, October 16th, 2017. That's right. I am your host, Al Martin, and you are now locked into WKAR's current sports right here on WKAR AM 870, 94.5 FM. We, as we usually do, have a completely loaded hour coming right at you. I will do my best to try and cover my bases on today's current sports because a ton happened in the world of local sports and beyond, to be honest with you. Of course, many of you saw the Detroit Lions take on the New Orleans Saints on the road, a high-scoring affair. We'll recap that matchup on the back end of today's current sports, but we will start today's current sports by diving into your Michigan State football team, which sits right now at 5-1, just one win away. Already, one win away from becoming bowl eligible. How about that? We'll dissect how the Spartans were able to pull off a rainy win on the road against the Minnesota Golden Gophers. We will invite to that conversation a man who was completely drenched as he worked that night game against the Spartans and Golden Gophers, that being Seth Newman, Michigan State football sideline reporter and host for the Spartan Sports Network. Seth will talk about what the atmosphere was like out in Minnesota and how the Spartans were able to now sit at 5-1. And on the back end of the show, in addition to, of course, the Detroit Lions and New Orleans Saints breakdown, we'll also talk about Colin Kaepernick, who is filing a grievance against the National Football League for collusion. Yeah, we'll break that down, and we'll have weekend winners for you. As you see, a ton to get to. If you want to be a part of the fun, multiple ways you can do so. Pick up the phone and dial 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also join us via social media. We have our live stream up and running via facebook.com/currentsports. You can even join the conversation via Twitter at Al Martin WKAR or at WKAR_sports. Well, you know how we start this party. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. We start with Michigan State football in the latest edition of the weekly Associated Press Top 25 poll. Michigan State jumped three spots from number 21 to number 18. How about that? While the Wolverines fell from number 17 to 19, marking the first time this year that the Spartans are ranked ahead of the Wolverines. Michigan State is coming off a 30-27 dub against PJ Fleck's Minnesota Golden Gophers, with LJ Scott leading the way for the Spartans with 192 rushing yards on 25 attempts and 2 touchdowns. Running back Madre London also ran for 16 attempts, 75 yards, and a TD. The now number 21 Spartans will host the 3-3 Indiana Hoosiers for their homecoming game this Saturday. Kickoff is scheduled for 3:30 p.m. You can watch that one on ABC. So again, Spartans from number 21 to 18. The Wolverines are ranked 19 in the Associated Press poll. I want to get your thoughts on Michigan State now being ranked ahead of the Wolverines and what flaws you see in both teams, for that matter, moving forward. But Michigan State, I tell you what, trending upward, while U of M trending the opposite way. All right, the start time for the Michigan State and Northwestern game has been announced, as the Wildcats and Spartans will play at 3:30 p.m. on October 28th, with the game being aired on either ABC, ESPN, or ESPN2. MSU leads the all-time record against the Wildcats, 37 wins, 18 losses, with the Wildcats winning the previous matchup against MSU 54-40 in East Lansing last season. Well, I should say, 37 wins to 18 wins for Northwestern? Is that how that breaks down, guys?
No, 37-18 for Michigan State.
For Michigan State, yeah. So 37 wins for Michigan State. Northwestern has won only 18 times.
Yes.
Gotcha. Mark D'Antonio Spartans are 5-3 in 8 meetings against Pat Fitzgerald's Wildcats since Mark D'Antonio became the head coach in 2007. Thank you for that help, John LeBlanc. All right, the MSU hockey team opened up its regular season with a 4-1 loss on Friday against Bowling Green. Bowling Green would net 3 goals in less than 2 minutes. This put the Spartans down early in that game. Ed Minnie was pulled after the third goal and replaced by John Letheman, who would go on to make 17 saves. On Saturday, though, the Spartans rebounded, played their first game at home of the regular season at Munice Arena, a 3-2 win over Bowling Green. Tommy Appep, he would get the Spartans on the board first, and the game would stay tied 2-2 until early in the third, though. And the Spartans went on to win that game. And we'll have more on MSU hockey. I'll have more on MSU hockey for my weekend winner segment. Don't miss that. The Spartans' next game will take place on Friday, as they will welcome Western Michigan University to Munice Arena. All right, John, thanks for the help, by the way. And
no problem.
You got some soccer news for both the men's and the women's soccer team. First off, we start with a milestone from MSU men's soccer head coach Damon Rensing.
Correct. Damon Rensing earned his 100th career win on Saturday on a very rainy Saturday afternoon. Beat Penn State 1-0. Rensing is now 160-24 in his ninth year at the helm of the Spartan program. Has led the program to the NCAA tournament 6 times in those 9 years, including 2 trips to the Elite Eight in 2013 and 2014. The Spartans will next play the Northwestern Wildcats this Friday at 8 p.m. And Evanston has their matchup against the Golden Grizzlies just got canceled about an hour or two ago.
And why? What's the reason for that cancellation, John?
Because of the weather this past weekend. Oakland had originally a conference game against Detroit Mercy, but that got canceled because obviously it was downpouring all day Saturday.
Okay.
So they're playing that game tonight, which means it's just they're not going to play back to back.
Gotcha.
That's a little ridiculous, and that game won't be rescheduled at all for the season.
Curious. You were at the MSU men's soccer game in
yes.
which Damon Rensing got his 100th victory, right?
Yes.
Was he ecstatic at all? What was his reaction to that milestone? Was he like, just another game. Yeah, 100 wins.
I talked to him before this also, and he's like, yeah, it's just basically another one. I mean, post-game, he pretty much just said, like, I'm just thankful for that, you know, Mark Hollis, the MSU Athletics, everything, everybody that's involved. And but, like, post-game also, along with the players slid on the field because it was rainy, got all wet. Damon Rensing went with, like, a feet-first slide, actually hit his head on his back. It, like, went back on it. It was pretty
fun. Is there a video of this? I have to tease Damon if so.
there may be.
I'll check social media.
Yeah.
But congratulations to head coach of the MSU men's soccer team, Damon Rensing, for getting his 100th win over the weekend. Quite the accomplishment.
Mm-hmm.
John, what happened in the wheelhouse of MSU women's soccer?
Women's soccer also picked up a big win on yesterday over U of M, improving their conference record to 2-7 and season record to 6-10. Michigan would strike first with a goal from one of their forwards early on, and then it was an early comeback from Lexi Warner within the first 10 minutes of the game. Put that away, and then the Spartans didn't score until the second half to take the lead, with Chris Aliello scoring in the early on. Goaltender Riley Out would end the game with a career-high 11 saves. The team's next game will be Saturday against the Maryland Terrapins.
Yeah, Chris Delyewy and Riley Ott, two fantastic players. And I actually saw the highlights of that matchup over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw that Lexi connected to Christel for one amazing header.
I was there for that game also. Oh. It was a beautiful,
Lexi was on the
setup.
Right side of the field.
Yep.
She kicks it. And Christelle gets a great head on it, and it sails through the net. And she just went bonkers. There's a great picture of her actually on the MSU Athletics website of her celebrating. So great stuff. All right, MSU Women's Volleyball. The number 10 Spartans went 1-1 this weekend, falling to number 2 Penn State 3-1 while sweeping Rutgers on Saturday 3-0. Outside hitter Autumn Bailey led the Spartans in kills this weekend with 27. The Spartans had a total of 101 kills this weekend. Impressive. The now 13-4 Spartans will next play the 13-7 Wolverines, Michigan Wolverines, this Wednesday at 7 p.m. in East Lansing. You can catch that one on ESPNU. The MSU field hockey team defeated the Indiana Hoosiers this weekend 3-2 and improved to 8-8 on the year, 2-4 in Big Ten play. Laura Bonus would put the Spartans on the board first and would be the only goal until nearly the 50th minute of the game when Indiana would tie it up. MSU would go on to score a pair of goals from Simone Vagnoni and Kara Bonchek to seal the team's win. The Spartans will next host Iowa on Friday for senior night. And what a wild game. Isaac, there are many Detroit Lions listeners right now that are not pleased about what happened yesterday, but you are the exact opposite. I'm pretty sure there are a lot of people listening that don't like you right now, seeing as though you're from New Orleans and your Saints gave it to the Lions yesterday.
Well, if I can conciliate everybody just slightly, I would say, who dat, baby? Nobody's going to beat them Saints. Let's go.
I can hear our ratings pummeling. running backs Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara combined for 237 yards from scrimmage. The Saints' resurgence defense forced 5 turnovers and scored a franchise record 3 times. New Orleans took a 52-38 victory over the Lions on Sunday in a game full of crazy bounces. Just a really weird game. A lot of offense, though, in this matchup. And I didn't even know this. The Saints are now above 500 for the first time since 2013. I did the math, and the math was actually broadcast over the airwaves. That's almost 1,400 days, Isaac. So it's been a long time coming for you to see a above 500 record.
Yeah, people can give me some slack now. Now you understand why I'm so excited about this. It's a big win, and the team started off 0-2 this year. We all know how 0-2 teams tend to fare. Later on in the season, the Saints might prove to be the exception. That offense is getting on track, and that defense actually looked vicious at times.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, they were going against a Matthew Stafford who was not healthy. Let's put it that way as well. We'll dive more into that later on this hour, but yeah, Detroit falls in that game. The Red Wings, Caitlin, talk about your winged wheels and how they performed over the weekend.
Well, the Red Wings won on Friday against the Golden Knights, 6-3. That was a big game. Howard, of course, impressive, as always.
Was that on the road?
That
was on the road.
In Vegas. Mm-hmm. And tonight, they come back for only their second game at Little Caesars Arena. That's still got to get used to that.
LCA, right?
The LCA.
I still have not been down there. I'm itching to get down there.
I can't wait to get there.
Not at the regular
season. The dojo. The dojo. I heard that nickname
the
on
dojo?
Thursday.
The dojo.
Dojo, like D-O-U-G-H, and then Joe.
I hate that. Why do they call it that?
Well, because dough for Little Caesars Pizza, and then Joe.
New
Joe.
That is
no?
stinky.
Yeah,
okay.
No.
Somebody thought too hard about that.
See,
I
just don't want to call it Little Caesars. Yeah,
call it LCA.
LCA.
LCA
is better.
LCA, man.
But LCA. I don't want to call it Little Caesars either, but
yeah.
LCA.
The dojo? Who came up with that? That is horrible.
I would hate it. You know I'm a corny guy. I would hate it. I
that is
like
horrible.
It.
That is a horrible
thing. That's worse than Little Caesars.
It's not worse than Little Caesars.
Okay. All right. So they would take on the Tampa Bay Lightning tonight. Is that tonight?
Tonight. And both teams are 4-1 right now.
Okay.
They're tied for their division lead. And puck drop is scheduled for 7:30 and can be watched on Fox Sports Detroit. Pre-game show will start an hour before game because they are going to take a tour of Little Caesars Arena.
Ah, that's nice. I may watch that and then tune out.
I want to see.
I'm joking.
I won't tune out, but I want to
no,
see
won't.
The tour.
Okay, yeah, I definitely want to check out. I want to see how, you know, just the
I've heard so many looks. Good things about this arena.
For sure, for sure. All right, and last but not least, NASCAR driver and Rochester Hills native Brad Keselowski
qualified for the NASCAR playoffs on Sunday at the Alabama 500 at Talladega Super Speedway. There were just 14 cars running at the conclusion, and only four were playoff drivers. The race was red flagged three times for nearly 35 minutes. Keselowski, who entered the week 10th in the playoff standings, is now guaranteed a spot in the round of eight thanks to his fifth win at Talladega. The Monster Energy Series travels to Kansas Speedway for a Sunday afternoon race on October 22nd at 3 p.m. It is the elimination race in the round of 12. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Let's get right to it.
There with those guys again. Definitely missed last week. Big game. I was on the sideline staying fired up, but it was nice coming back, being able to get back out on the field with my brothers.
In these conditions, what did you have to focus on to have the success that you had today?
Well, the key this week was patience, and we needed to be able to rush for 100 yards, and that's definitely something we executed today. And I would like to give all my credit to the O-line, those guys up front, for creating holes for me and getting the job done.
How we start this Monday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. So honored you've allowed us to be a part of your Monday. Happy Monday. Happy Monday. I know it's getting a little bit chilly in mid-Michigan now, right? It's around 50 degrees outside, a bit brisk. I love it, though. I love fall. I love fall. I love the month of October, not just because it is my birthday month. I just love October in general. I love Halloween. You're a big Halloween guy, Isaac. I love Halloween, man.
I gotta say, I love it too.
It's great, isn't it? Especially as a student at Michigan State, Halloween is like, man, it's one of the biggest days of the school year. Everybody's out around East Lansing just going crazy. What are you being this year? I'm curious. Are you dressing up?
I'm planning on Anchorman. That's my thought. You know, I've already got a suit for it. Well, okay. Or at least one that could fit the occasion. I just need to grow out the hair a little bit more. I was hoping. Because, you know, I got this haircut and way too short for my liking way back when.
Right.
And it still hasn't grown back to the full Anchorman glory. But
okay.
At the same time,
grow it out.
Yeah, I'll get the fake mustache and just roll with that one.
I hear you. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm playing I'm Dreaming by Christian Williams. I love this joint from back in the Dizay. Because, Spartan fans, you are not dreaming. No, your Spartans sit at 5-1 right now. Can you believe that? If somebody would have told me, six games into the year, that Michigan State football would sit at 5-1, I would have said, are you feeling okay? I think you may need to go see a doctor, brother. Because that's going to be impossible. After coming off a 3-9 year, Michigan State, 5-1, they have now moved up three spots in the Associated Press college football poll. The latest win coming on Saturday night in another just wet and wild battle. This time against the Minnesota Golden Gophers. And the Spartans now, in the AP poll, are ranked higher than the Michigan Wolverines. A Wolverines team that once ranked in the top 10 to start the college football year. Oh, boy. What are your thoughts on your Spartans? Again, our phone lines are open. I want to open it up right now. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. We're going to chat with Seth Newman of the Spartan Sports Network, as Seth is a sideline reporter for the Spartan Sports Network, does a fantastic job. He was there, of course, reporting on that wet and wild win. So we're going to get a first-hand account of what the atmosphere was like being there in Minnesota covering that game from Seth. But I just want to open up the dialogue by giving mad props to Mark D'Antonio. Now, you just heard from L.J. Scott, Michigan State running back, who had a great day with the exception of the fumble. And it's this thing about L.J. I love L.J. He's a great running back. At times, I think he gets caught up in the east and west running, but I think he's a great running back. He's got great speed, and I tell you what, on that one touchdown where he just basically burrows through the line, and there are about four or five maroon and gold jerseys around him trying to play catch-up, and then right before he crosses the pylon, he kind of lowers his head and just burrows into the end zone for six. That was amazing. And it just shows you the kind of potential that L.J. Scott has. But then we saw in the fourth quarter a bugaboo that L.J. Scott has had far too often. And it is the reason, in my view, why we've seen L.J. Scott sit on the bench a few times. It's because L.J. Scott just has a problem with taking care of the football. When he's good, he's good. But when he's coughing up the football, it's hard for any coach, let alone Mark D'Antonio, to keep you in the football game. Nonetheless, L.J. Scott was great. We've been waiting for a stout performance on the ground, not from Brian Lewerke, but from one of these three running backs. Now, we saw a glimpse of that with Madre London. I thought Madre London had a great game against the Wolverines. He bust out that 50-yard game. Absolutely fantastic. But L.J. Scott is a player who started at the running back position to start the year. We didn't see him at all against Michigan due to injury concerns. That's how it was framed after the game, at least, when a lot of people were puzzled as to why L.J. did not play one down in that game. And then he comes back and puts on a performance like this. Absolutely fantastic for L.J. Scott. Absolutely fantastic to see that. And you look at Mark D'Antonio in the postgame presser. Mark D'Antonio is a happy man right now, and I believe that Mark D'Antonio has done one of, if not so far through six games, the best coaching job of the college football world. I mean, this is a team, folks, that, again, don't get it twisted. Don't forget, this team went 3-9 last year. 3-9. That was the worst end-of-year record for the program since 1982. And then you have an offseason where four Michigan State football players are charged with criminal sexual misconduct. That's what led our airwaves multiple times throughout the summertime. That's what we were following. And Mark D'Antonio, I remember he came out and we're talking about the program, and Mark D'Antonio held that press conference where he's just fielding questions about the situation, about the offseason. It looked really bad. There was a clear, dark cloud that hovered around this program, and it began raining really hard. But now, Michigan State, 5-1. Mark D'Antonio Spartans are 5-1 and ranked. When was the last time Michigan State's football team has been ranked? I mean, my goodness. They're finally ranked at the season's midpoint, 3-0 in the Big Ten Conference. For Mark D'Antonio's seventh time in his 11 seasons. And as I mentioned at the top of the hour, Michigan State just one win away now from becoming bowl eligible after missing out last year for the first time in Coach D'Antonio's tenure. Absolutely remarkable. I don't think anybody would argue with me if I said that throughout Mark D'Antonio's 11 seasons as the head coach of this football team, this right here, and again, it's six games through the year, but right now, what I'm seeing, this is Mark D'Antonio's best coaching job. since he's been in East Lansing. Would you argue with me on that, Isaac? Best coaching job since he's been here 11 seasons. I know you're on the phone right
no,
now.
No, I would not, though. No, I mean, would not.
I mean, come on. 3-9. 3-9 and 5-1 through six games, absolutely remarkable. Especially when you consider the fact that this team is so young as well. This team is filled with babies. Michigan State has played 13 true freshmen. And that's not to mention the countless players on this squad who are getting their first time action on the football field. It is absolutely remarkable. And I love the swag. I mean, I watched the press conference that was sent from MSU Athletics to us media members here in the area. And Mark D'Antonio rose into the press conference. He's got his Michigan State Scully on and Michigan State jacket. And he's like sucking on a cough drop. And, you know, I kind of chuckled because, you know, when he had his opening statement, he said, "I'm sorry, I got a cough drop in my mouth." And he kind of smirked. He's got, you know, Mark D'Antonio has like this dry humor, this dry wit that is pretty hilarious to me. And, you know, it's cool seeing Mark D'Antonio have that interaction, that wit, and show off that wit to the media, because it's something that you don't often see with Coach D, because he gets a rep for being always serious, right? Especially when you see Coach D'Antonio on the sidelines. But when he is winning, Mark D'Antonio will show his personality a bit. So he comes in, he's got this cough drop in his mouth, and he says, "Sorry, I got a cough drop in my mouth." And he kind of goes on with this statement. And then, you know, at the end of that statement, you know, he says, "All right, I got to take this thing out," and kind of puts it away and says, "I hope that doesn't go viral on the internet." I mean, it was just real dry humor and dry wit, but it was pretty funny. Coach D'Antonio, I say that to say this. Coach D'Antonio has a swag about him after games now, after wins, that mimics the Mark D'Antonio that we would see, Isaac, when he was competing for Rose Bowls and when he was going to the college football playoff. We are starting to see that Coach D. And then it trickled down to the players. I mean, I watched Brian Lewerke's demeanor and LJ Scott's demeanor after that game. They're having fun. They're confident. And they're assertive with their statements. However, they're balancing it out with also saying, "Hey, you know, I love the quote." You know, this is coming from Chris Solari's article that actually centers on Mark D'Antonio, and, you know, which basically talks about staying humble at the same time, taking, you know, embracing the success, because this program was at a really low point last year, but also keeping in perspective that there's still a lot of football left to play. This quote actually comes from junior running back Madre London. Quote, "We don't want to go back to what we did last year. It can always get worse. We're 5-1. We could be 5 and however many games are left. We could be losing the rest of them. We're just trying to stay humble, keep working, and take nothing for granted." I absolutely love that quote, because it could be easy for a lot of these players who are on that 3-9 team to look at this 5-1 record and say, "Oh my goodness, let's start rejoicing right now," right?
Mm-hmm.
That's not a Mark D'Antonio team now. That's not a Mark D'Antonio team, though, I should say. Because they keep in perspective that there's still a lot of football left to play, and they're just taking it one game at a time, literally. And you love to hear that from your players, that, hey, we're embracing 5-1, because you should after a year like last season. But we still know that, and I do believe, and this goes back to my point last season, 3-9, after having all the success that Mark D'Antonio has had in the last five seasons, you have a 3-9 year. I love what Mark said last year when he said a lot of these players on this team have been born on third.
Mm-hmm.
They came into the program with success. They don't know what the grind years were like when Mark D'Antonio first got there. I think that for a lot of these young players who are finally getting some playing time, going through what they saw last year, put in perspective that success is very fragile, and you got to count your blessings. You got to go in there and compete every single Saturday and take nothing for granted, because I do believe that they got a bit fat and happy last season as well. But now this team sits at 5-1. They're staying humble, and they're finding ways to win close, gritty games as well. Michigan State had a nice, sizable lead on Saturday. And then L.J. Scott has a fumble, and that shortens the field for the Minnesota offense. That leads to a touchdown, and then you see the Golden Gophers start to creep up and make this thing a game. Bottom line, though, in those weather conditions, especially looking at the week prior to against Michigan, bad weather conditions, close games, Michigan State finds a way. And I absolutely love this defensive unit because, you know, they bent on Saturday, but they did not break. They stood firm, and getting that onside recovery, you could just kind of see a collective sigh of relief on the sidelines. Where would this program go now, Isaac? Well, you play an Indiana team that pushed Michigan to the brink, a team that Michigan State beat the week prior to. You play an Indiana team this weekend for homecoming, 3:30 p.m. kickoff. The next week you play Northwestern. Two games in which Michigan State will be favored in. This team could sit at 7-1 after the next 2 weeks, Isaac. That's amazing. I predicted 7 wins for the entire season. Have expectations now changed now? Where's the ceiling as far as the win column is concerned for this team now, Isaac?
I said it last week. I predicted 6-6. There's not a chance in heck that they're getting 6-6 anymore. I mean, this is at least, for me, an 8-win team now. Mm-hmm. At least an 8-win team. I don't feel that audacious saying that or anything because you heard it before the season. And I remember this got a fair bit of play within the local media scene. We called D'Antonio out, and I said, you know, maybe he sees something we don't. But we called him out for saying, Brian Lewerke reminds me of Kirk Cousins. It's like, whoa, man, you're going to throw all that on a sophomore quarterback who's untested, coming off an injury, and compare him to one of your most successful quarterbacks who's since gone on to be one of the highest paid players in the NFL? Mm-hmm. He was right. I mean, we can all admit he was right, and it's because he felt the character of this team. He knew more than we did from the outside, plain and simple.
Right.
And within this team, you mentioned how young they were. I remember, again, in the preseason presser, D'Antonio said something along the lines of they're going to be starting or at least playing significant time. Six freshmen at six different positions, even.
Right.
And that's definitely panned out to be the case. Look at the receiving core. And yet, guess who makes big plays game after game? It's the freshmen. It's the sophomores. It's the impressionable young players on this team who go out. They're willing to listen to the leadership. They're willing to not question or bite back or talk back or anything. They're willing to go out there and do the job.
Right, right.
I mean, I believe the onside fumble recovery or onside kick recovery, rather, was from Cody White. I could be wrong about that.
But I have to go back and check.
Yeah. Another young player making a play when it's clutch time. There's a different feel about this game, and you can feel it all the more palpably when it is a cold weather, bad weather, rainy day game that, again, they managed to grit out. That is so important for this team going forward.
I totally agree. And, again, we want to hear from you. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. I know our lines are booked right now as I'm getting a message from Seth Newman, our guest for today's Current Sports. He's like, Al, I'm calling in, but I keep getting the busy signal. We only got two phone lines, so we got two callers waiting to weigh in on the game. So I want to hit the first break. And before we do that, don't hit the music just yet, Isaac. Ben Grimes comments on our Facebook page. I do want to address this. Ben says that, Al, that fumble that LJ had on Saturday was not LJ's fault. The offensive lineman that was on the end of the offensive line blew his coverage and allowed the defensive lineman to get into the backfield at the same time that the handoff was happening, and LJ had no time to even make a move to avoid getting hit and thus got hit and the ball came loose. Ben, I've seen the play at least 5 times now, and this is the thing that irks me sometimes when it comes to fans with their teams. Please hold your team accountable when they've constantly messed up time and time again. It was clearly LJ's fault. He had time to protect that football and not allow a lineman to get a paw on it and knock it loose. You know what the weather conditions are. As soon as he got that football, Isaac, there should have been two arms wrapped around it. Simple as that. And LJ Scott, let's be real here. The dude has a problem with protecting the football. All right, now I like to compare it to Le'Veon Bell, and I think for those that haven't seen Graham Couch's article that compares Le'Veon Bell's tenure to L.J. Scott's, Graham Couch basically says that L.J. Scott can be Le'Veon Bell and carry Michigan State if he does not drop the football. That's actually the title of the article. And he talks about, you know, talk about statistics here. And we all know how big of a workhorse Le'Veon Bell was here at Michigan State. My goodness. Bell played in all kinds of weather, all kinds of adversity. He was the workhorse for Michigan State. He fumbled the ball twice in 40 games. L.J. has four fumbles in five games this year. He had two last year and three as a freshman. MSU fans, please, all I'm asking is just hold your players accountable. Hold your team accountable. That is inexcusable. Inexcusable for any running back. I love you, LJ, and I think you're a dynamic running back. If you take care of the football. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, again, we'll be chatting with Seth Newman. Seth Newman of the Spartan Sports Network. We've got two callers on. We've got Dave and Ray. Loaded show. Loaded show, as each and every Monday is here on Current Sports. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. We have been chatting about the Michigan State win over the Minnesota Golden Gophers on a rainy Saturday night at TCF Bank Stadium. Michigan State now sits at 5-1 on the year. They are going to be a huge factor when it comes to the Big Ten East race. Oh, this is going to be fun as the weeks roll along here. 517-355-WKAR. Before we get to our guest for today's Current Sports, we got to make these calls quick, unfortunately, because, again, it's already, man, 137 already. Line one, Dan from Wyoming. Dave, what's...
Hello, Al. First, I will take issue with the L.J. Scott fumble.
Oh, Dave, stop it. Don't do that, Dave.
Don't go there, Dave. You are wrong about the Cavaliers, and you're wrong here.
That was just for kicks and giggles, but I hear
wrong, and you are wrong about... guy going to the Golden State to play on a better team.
Well, look.
I'm not gonna dump that all on him because that was not a great handoff. Okay?
Okay,
the ball was high. That's part Lewerke, part him. Okay, it wasn't a Madre London punch out that we saw later that could have turned into a disaster. So yeah, LJ's got to hold on to the ball better. But this one fumble, I'm not gonna nail on him because the offensive line probably was. That was one of the poorest plays they played all year.
I hear you, Dave, but come on. The brother has fumbled just about every game this season.
That was then. This is now. This is the instance.
Okay.
I know, Al, I happen to, you know, I know just probably as many coaches as you have over the years,
mm-hmm.
including SEC and Big 12 guys, and they pointed out to me when I've griped about some guys, they say, well, you know, sometimes the handoffs aren't as good as they should be. So you got to blame the quarterback. Of course, everybody never wants to do that because that's like blaming the head coach. It's easier to blame the coordinator, right?
Four fumbles in five games this year, Dave. When it comes to securing the football, you got to wrap the football up in every time you touch the football from here on out.
And I guess on the other side about the how close the game was, mm-hmm. okay, Higbee doesn't get the yips. That's another 7 points instead of threes, right? So now we have 4 points. And if they'd called holding on both teams the way they'd called on Higbee on the one play mm-hmm. with about 5 minutes left,
right.
you would have probably had a 37-41-20 end. Because Minnesota wouldn't have had touchdowns in the fourth quarter. They'd had field goals. It was a strange game. That's not saying blame the officials, but that was, you know, I was an official for a lot of years, and I have a couple of family members who are officials now and mm-hmm. know guys who do Big 12 and NFL and Big 10 games, and they're always talking about points of emphasis and how the point of emphasis for what level of holding was going to be called went to the level that Higbee got as compared to the level that both teams were doing previous was head-scratching.
Mm-hmm.
And, and I'm with Isaac. I think 8 wins. I think Michigan State's probably going to do a Michigan State and beat one more team that they're not supposed to,
mm-hmm.
and maybe come out flat against another team.
Gotcha.
You know, but that'll be it. But as I said, I'm just happy 5-1, 3-0 in the Big Ten.
I'm telling you.
Not where nobody expected to be.
Nobody.
And just keep on winning. Thanks.
Dave, always bringing the heat. Appreciate it. Line 2, before we get to our guest for today, is Current Sports. We've got Ray from Indiana. Ray, how you feeling, man?
Ye a little faith. Ye a little faith. I haven't called you in a week since the bullies went down again.
You have. It's
I
been a long time,
Ray.
I
told you they were going to lose 13-10, and it was 14-10. I'm sorry. It was a monsoon rain in the last quarter. I was wrong by 1 point.
You caught that. You did call that, Ray.
You know.
And watching the
bullies,
Wolverines
the
against.
Say you're not a rival. You know why? They're right.
Why
you beat
that?
The hell out of them every year. You beat them 8. You're 8-2 against them in 10 years. No wonder they're not a rival. You got to win once in a while, Michigan. You can't do it, you bullies. When are you going to humble yourself down there?
You're bringing the heat. I love it, Ray. And Ray, you know, you look at Michigan against Indiana, and you know that game goes to overtime, and they almost lost against the Hoosiers. Wow, did they dodge a bullet there or what, Ray?
They got lucky. They got 260 yards. They're not going to be playing Indiana at Indiana this week. They're going to be playing at Penn State. We'll see how Penn State got tore up by them last year. They're going to be waiting for them. I can't wait for that game. They're going to lose to Wisconsin. They're going to lose to Ohio State. And hopefully they're going to lose another one or two like they did to you guys.
Okay. I tell you what, though. Caron Higdon, I will say on a positive note, Caron Higdon, where has that dude been all year, right? My goodness.
Well, you got to stop the run.
Exactly.
That Indiana on that first play in overtime, they had him boxed up, but the guy from the outside did not contain his spot, and he ran right around in. You can't let that happen.
He tried
if you're
to cheat.
Good defense.
Right.
They'll never do that against Penn State this week. I guarantee it.
Exactly. Ray, thank you.
And I'm telling you right now, all you bullies down there, you're 2-8 against Michigan State in the last 10 years. You're 1-14 against Ohio State. When are you guys ever going to get rid of your pride and arrogance and humble yourselves before God, huh?
Ray from Indiana. Ray, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Go Penn State.
Oh, boy. There is nothing like a Ray from Indiana call. You pretty much know where Ray is going to go whenever he calls in. Thank you so much, Ray. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call if you want to be a part of today's Current Sports. Right now, we are working on getting Seth Newman on the show. We actually have him. I'm getting the thumbs up from Isaac behind the glass right now. Seth Newman, Michigan State football sideline reporter and host for the Spartan Sports Network. Seth, I'm sorry, man. We only got 2 phone lines, and they kind of got clogged up rather quickly in light of the Michigan State talk with the win over Minnesota on Saturday. So we finally got you on the show. How you doing, man? Have you dried off yet from Saturday?
Oh, my gosh. I had to put my shoes underneath the bathroom dryer for about 2 hours just so they would get dry again. But I'm doing well, Al. It's good to be back.
Definitely good to hear your voice, my man. So first off, Seth, can you kind of set the scene for Saturday night? Because it was supposed to be, I believe, an 8:08 kickoff. And then there's a 34 or 40-minute rain delay due to lightning in the area. What was that wait like? And just kind of set the scene from your perspective being there in person.
Yeah, so when I got on the sidelines about an hour before the game, it was kind of misty. It was light sprinkle. And I was thinking to myself, well, if this is all it is, it won't be that bad. I can deal with this. Because I had about 8 layers on, but you know, once it got closer to kickoff, there was a lightning strike. And so, you know, you had to go into the tunnel, and then as the lightning delay was happening, it just started to downpour. You know, fans were booing because they were asked to leave to go to the concourse. I wasn't happy because, you know, I don't want to be in Minnesota at 3 in the morning, but, you know, once the game got going, everybody was a lot more happy. The fans were happy, but I do think the weather definitely took a lot out of the home crowd. Before the weather delay, I say it was maybe 50% full, and maybe 10% were Michigan State fans. The Spartans definitely traveled well to Minnesota, so the weather definitely took its toll on the home crowd advantage for the Gophers.
I have to ask, Seth, I mean, when you have a lengthy delay like that before kickoff, I mean, what did the Michigan State players do to kind of stay focused and stay in the groove of the game? Did you ask them that at all?
Yeah, actually, I asked defensive coordinator Mike Tressel at halftime. I was like, you know, what did you guys do during that delay? And he said it was actually really difficult because that's something that they hadn't faced before for a while. I think the last one was 2013 against Western Michigan. They had a weather delay. But he said that, you know, he had the team all charged, you know, ready to let the lion out of the cage. They were warming up. Everybody was in the zone. And then he said, all right, well, you know, we got to pack it all up. We got to go back in. And he's like, we just basically told the players to relax, kind of just, you know, get the aggression out. And then he said, we had to do it all over again. We had to charge them back up. We had to motivate them to get back out there. And that's what they did. So it was difficult, but the results showed, and the Spartans got it done.
Yeah, very odd to have, first off, back-to-back night games, but to have both of those games be rainy affairs, certainly a bit odd. I want to talk about L.J. Scott. We've been highlighting him throughout this hour here on the show, Seth. I mean, L.J. became MSU's first 100-yard rusher since he ran for a previous career best of 160 yards on November 19th of 2016. That was against Ohio State, helping the Spartans run for 245 yards. What did you see that allowed L.J. Scott to have the kind of night that he had this past weekend?
Well, I think for the first time this season, the offensive line really enforced what they wanted to do. Mark Staten was really pleased with them after the game. So they got the holes open. But L.J. Scott, he took a page out of Le'Veon Bell's book with how patient he was. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes the holes don't open up right away, especially with this young team, but he waited for those holes, and once he saw that, he burst through, and he really looked like the LJ of old, you know, running downhill, powerful, getting touchdowns, but his fumbling, it's so frustrating to watch that, and I'm sure he's way more frustrated living it. You know, he's so talented. He has everything you want from a back. He can run downhill. He's patient behind his blocking. He can make the cuts, the spins, the hurdles. But the ball comes out at the worst times, whether it's at the goal line or on the wrong side of the field. It's happening. And he was gelling on the sidelines against Minnesota. You know, he was feeling himself, career high, 194 yards. He was all smiles on the sideline before that fumble. But that fumble, all of them, they're game changers. Much like L.J. Scott is. He's a game changer when he's on. But until I see different, you're kind of playing with fire with L.J. He's the most talented back on the team, and that's saying something when you have Madre London and Gerald Holmes. But clearly, D'Antonio trusts him as he keeps getting the reps in clutch situations. But I do think that if he can be fumble-free against Indiana and Northwestern, then I do think he'll be good to go against the big boys of Penn State and Ohio State.
Yeah, and like you just said, Seth, I mean, Michigan State is playing with fire, or, you know, it's kind of a catch-22 is the way I put it this morning on our news show morning edition. But, you know, Scott, 25 carries for 194 yards, the most by a Spartan since Le'Veon Bell's 266 at Minnesota back in 2012. When it comes to the entirety of this game, you know, on both sides of the ball for Michigan State, what allowed Michigan State to pull out that game when, as Minnesota, you know, starting with that fumble, kind of shifting momentum in Minnesota's favor on the road? How was Michigan State able to pull out a close win like that one on Saturday?
Yeah, once the game actually started, it was chaos for the first few minutes. I think there was something like four fumbles in the first 8 minutes.
Right.
But the good news was, you know, Michigan State's defense was up for the challenge, and they have been this entire season with short field situations. It seems like when teams get turnovers against the Spartans, the defense can at least hold them to field goals. And something that Minnesota head coach P.J. Fleck loves to do this year is run the ball, and they could not do that against the Spartans. They were held to 74 yards rushing. And on the flip side, you know, we talked about this. L.J. Scott was able to pound the ball. Madre London had a good game. I think he had 74 yards. So the Spartans were able to, you know, pound green pound in sloppy, wet conditions, which I think the Michigan game really helped them as kind of a dress rehearsal for this game mm-hmm. with the bad weather. So the Spartans knew that they had a winning formula, and so they executed that. And it's funny because during my post-game interview with Staten, you know, I was kind of asking him about the weather, and I was like, you know, back-to-back bad weather games. He just goes, you know, I hope to God that he puts some sun on us next week. And I couldn't agree more. I'm getting sick of this rain.
Yeah, I can only imagine Seth working in it, my man. Again, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, first off, where have you been? Second off, it's Seth Newman, Michigan State football sideline reporter and host for the Spartan Sports Network. Looking at the forecast for Saturday, Seth, MSU's homecoming game as they will host Indiana, 72 degrees and sunny, but knock on wood, right? This is Michigan, okay?
I am knocking on the table right now this week, so.
I'm sure. Seth, before we get you out of here, with Indiana on the horizon now for this week, you know, I watched the Michigan and Indiana game over the weekend, one that went to overtime. I was very impressed with the redshirt freshman quarterback, Peyton Ramsey, who showed a lot of guts in that game. What is your outlook in that game? And I'll ask you the same question I asked our engineer Isaac. I mean, what is the ceiling for this team now? They sit at 5-1. Has it shifted your win prediction for the Spartans this season now?
Absolutely. I pictured the Spartans going 7-5 this year, and I think that was a bit optimistic for most forecasts. But I mean, they can really compete for a Big Ten East title. If they can beat Indiana and Northwestern, they're looking at playing Penn State and Ohio State in pretty good shape. If they can win maybe one or two of those games, things can get pretty interesting. But as far as Indiana goes, they got the run game going against Minnesota, and that bodes well against Indiana because I think the Hoosiers are giving up over 150 yards rushing a game to the opposing team's offense. So if the Spartans can pound green pound, which is what they're going to want to do against the Hoosiers, because they play a fast tempo offense. You mentioned they have Peyton Ramsey playing quarterback now. So, you know, the best way to beat Indiana is to keep their offense off the field, because you don't want to get into a shootout with Indiana. In Indiana, I looked at their schedule earlier. They played a pretty tough schedule already this year. They, you know, they did get blown out by Penn State and Ohio State, but they took Michigan to overtime. They just can't, you know, they can't get over the hump against Michigan, it seems. But they did beat a decent Virginia team. Virginia's 5-1. Their only loss is to Indiana. So they haven't played cupcakes all year. They may have a tough time, though, getting up like Iowa did against the Spartans, because Iowa lost a heartbreaker to Penn State the week before.
Right.
Now Indiana lost a heartbreaker in overtime to Michigan, so we're going to see if Indiana can come in East Lansing on homecoming against a red-hot Spartan team. We're going to see if they're ready to go. But, you know, I'm liking the Spartans next week.
My man Seth Newman of the Spartan Sports Network. Seth, how can they listen to you each and every Saturday during Michigan State football games?
Well, hey, if you don't live in Michigan, you can find us on our app, SSN 24/7, or just go to our website, SpartanSportsNetwork.com, to listen to all the games live. And you can also hit me up on Twitter at Spartan_radio.
Seth Newman, Michigan State football sideline reporter and host for the Spartan Sports Network. Seth, fantastic job. Thanks for your time, my man.
Hey, thanks so much, Al, for having me on again. Love it.
All right. Let's hit our final break. When we come back, we will have a brief edition of Weekend Winners for you. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. We have 2 minutes left in the show. We love to close out each and every Monday edition of Current Sports with a segment we entitle Weekend Winners. Who exactly had the best weekend in sports?
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it. That's the great thing about sports. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down.
All right, Isaac, I'm going to be boring and go with the Michigan State football team. Again, we've dedicated the entire hour to them. I do have a few losers, though. I want to bring up the Detroit Lions. We didn't get a chance to dive into how they lost against the New Orleans Saints. It was a very weird game, an odd game. But the Lions right now, John actually just passed some news along to me that Golden Tate will be out a few weeks. He is the workhorse for that offense. Matthew Stafford was banged up. He was not 100% healthy in that game against New Orleans. So the Lions are a clear loser in this thing, and also the NFL when it comes to Aaron Rodgers. Even though that brother has torched my Cowboys countless times, including this season, and, of course, we saw what happened in the playoffs last year. But Aaron Rodgers is one of the faces of the NFL, and now he's out possibly for the rest of the season with a collarbone injury. That was tough to watch over the weekend. Also, John LeBlanc, he is one of our current sports production assistants and reporters who has a story right now live via WKAR.org. Real quick, John, what is that story, and how can people read it?
They can go to WKAR.org to read it, and it's about golfer Charlie Green. He comes from a family of collegiate golfers. Grandpa was three-time All-American, and spent some time on the LPGA Tour, and yeah, just talk about his bringing up and if he felt any pressure.
It's a great story. MSU golfer Charlie Green, he had interest in hockey and then ventured off into the links.
Yeah.
Good choice,
yeah.
Right? Good choice. Isaac, you got anybody?
Yeah, for a weekend winner, I'll go with the New Orleans Saints as well as Michigan State. I mean, Michigan State leapfrogging U of M in the polls. That's actually a big deal for, again, the scope of this state rivalry.
Right.
And to address any Lions fans who might be saying this, yeah, the Saints played that chippy, I got to say. It was definitely some times where I was thinking, ooh, is that a late hit? Okay, as long as you keep the flag in your pocket. But whatever works, that's the defense that won the Saints the Super Bowl.
80 points scored in that game yesterday. We'll have more on the Lions tomorrow. We'll see you tomorrow, folks. Thanks so much for tuning in. As always, be easy, people.